This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Well, today we'll spend our time hearing an update on ag industry issues that are quite important to our local farmers. Chuck Spencer, Director of Corporate and Government Relations for GrowMark, will talk farm bill and water quality and how those issues are being discussed on both national and local levels.
Farm bill discussions, it's been since 2017, we've been engaged deeply with agriculture commodity organizations, farm organizations, and anyone connected to agriculture is working and talking to their elected leaders. What would they like to see in farm policy? And then we note, fast forward to last Friday when the House and Senate adjourned for a two-week Easter in-district work period. What we find is that the House leaders came to a point where the Republicans in the majority wanted to revise the Supplemental Nutrition Program, or SNAP program, as you see the acronym so often in the press. And they wanted to revise it and reduce spending about $2 billion a year. And, of course, a number of Democrats, including a Democratic leader, Colin Peterson from Minnesota, on the Agriculture Committee, said that that was simply unacceptable to his members, and they pulled back, actually, from their conversations of farm bill negotiation. And, of course, that set off a number of concerns within the overall political perspective of how the House was going to proceed. And then this morning you hear encouraging news from a senator like Joe Donnelly, Democrat from Indiana, who says that they've been doing a lot of behind-the-scenes work in the Senate Agriculture Committee, and while they wouldn't have the spending reforms in nutrition like the House would have, they actually think that they could see a bill progress through the Senate by the end of April. And even Pat Roberts was talking about that, if they could get floor time. So here you have the chamber that is traditionally viewed as a challenge with 60 votes and that may be sending some encouraging signals here for farm bill spending, and certainly some posturing of concern if you wanted quick action on the farm bill here from the House. So we'll see we're going to have to be engaged and see what happens, won't we?
We definitely will. As far as the discussions go that are talking about programs that will affect farmers, are they pretty positive that we're going to keep things that will benefit farmers in the farm bill, or do we expect to see a lot of changes? You know, what are conversations like concerning those topics?
Well, I think that for the last few farm bills, we've been more evolutionary than revolutionary. And there's pretty broad-based expectation that the major provisions like crop insurance and adjusting the fine-tuning knobs, you know, the county differentials have been a topic, long-time concern. It can be overcome fairly easy, but crop insurance would be a major focus in a provision that with some fine-tuning for certain crops, it works very well. I think you see the programs, the basic programs for your major commodities, corn, soybean, wheats, and other small grains, that they would be fundamentally staying in the structural format that we see today with farmer choice, with ARC or PLC, depending on which way they wanted to go. And I would think that those programs could be fine-tuned, adjusted. So I think that when you talk about commodity programs, and of course the dairy farmers and cotton farmers in past continuing resolution bills had some budget relief by having their programs included and some of the reform measures they needed for their pricing programs when their commodity prices are very low. That seemed to help the discussion of how the commodities title of the farm bill could be assembled. And, Katie, we spend 95% of our time talking about Title I, and there's conservation title, there's renewable energy, there's research. You know, rural development comes through the farm bill as well. So all these wastewater treatment and water facility upgrades, rural broadband go through rural development. So farm bill is very comprehensive, and I think that we can see things move forward that are much like what we know today, but hopefully enhanced and fine-tuned for the next 5 years.
Sounds good. Sounds like positive comments there from you, Chuck, so we'll wait and see what happens. Next subject I wanted to get an update from you on is water quality. You said you're going to be making a trip to some eastern states pretty soon. And there has been some discussion about water quality in Ohio.
Yes, there has. In fact, we are going to go to Growmark FS out in Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. We're very big in, as far as helping farmers in their nutrient management plans in the state of Pennsylvania as well, which is a major focus in the Chesapeake Bay. And I'll get to Ohio in a moment, because what we learn in the Midwest is that we look at other watersheds and the demands of the population and watershed residents, as well as the agricultural producers, and how they continue to work together and interface. Sometimes there are groups and discussions that are seemingly less than productive, but in many cases what we find is that underneath the headlines you see that watershed groups and diverse groups of either conservation organizations and farmers themselves are working together for improvement. And I'll give you a cited example where the Chesapeake Bay is known for water degradation, but yet if you've read the U.S. EPA reports as well as other water quality reports, there was a little celebration that should have got a lot more headlines with ocean grass. And none of us like to mow our yard grass that often in the summer, but when it comes to restoration and you start to see plant life being restored, that means the oyster beds are becoming more productive, the fishery resources are being more productive. Is there continued work to do? Absolutely. Are there encouraging signs of improving water quality? Yes. And I think the amount of time that's been that has been allowed at Chesapeake Bay programs to work, particularly voluntary incentive-based nutrition or nutrient-based programs farmers are implementing, and wastewater treatment and water quality entities for urban areas, is working. Ohio, on the other hand, you may know that the Lake Erie Basin and toxic algae blooms continue to be a discussion every summer. We see the photographs. And over there, we've noted that in the governor's administration, the Department of Environmental Protection Agency has made a statement this week that they're going to outline a plan for enhanced regulatory oversight. And they feel that Ohio, in the 4.5 years they've even enacted a law that governs some fertilizer practice, that they need to have more regulatory control and reporting over farmers. That is not being well received in the state of Ohio. And 4.5 years, Katie, in a watershed, simply not enough time for the practices that are put in place to work well.
Well, I think that's definitely an example of what could happen to our farmers at home here in Illinois. I know water quality has been a big focus, especially with the Council on Best Management Practices and other organizations in the state. Chuck, do you have an update on how we're doing in Illinois and if we're being successful with our volunteer efforts to, you know, reduce nutrient runoff?
The answer is that we need to have a number of assessments. I can tell you, you know, that some people would like to just put a simple numeric standard out there, Katie, and say, well, this is a numeric standard, and we're dip testing the water today, and if you meet, you're good, and if you're not, you're bad. I think all of us who reside in watersheds and have any practical experience of gardening or outdoor, you have rainfall events, unpredictable snowfall events, and you have Mother Nature working with you and sometimes hampering our best efforts. What's important is, are we taking the measures in the long run to do what's best for the soil, for the watershed, for the productivity of our country in raising commodities and food products for not only our population but the world? And the answer is yes, we see very good news, and I'll give you some specific examples. You mentioned the Council on Best Management Practices. We've got commodity associations, farm groups. I mean, Growmark, for example, has teamed up with the Illinois Farm Bureau, who's working now in 12 different watersheds. We have 14 county farm bureaus and 11 member companies where we're doing very specific demonstration projects that have involved farmers, their fields. We produce the results of what those activities are like, some of the efficiency measures that are helpful to farmers in reducing costs and increasing their productivity and yields at the same time. When we put and focus on keeping fertilizer in the field for the plants, properly feeding them, using that fertilizer to the best of our ability, and making a fall assessment if we need a cover crop to either absorb leftover nutrients or just to protect soil resources, those type of activities are going on very distinctly. The Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association also engaged in this process. So when you start thinking about the depth of working together, even and with conservation organizations as well, I think we're seeing the Midwestern farmers respond to the challenges. And we're doing so with an eye toward other areas of the country, their experiences, but we really want that leadership role and to be recognized for it, Katie, because agriculturalists care about the environment, their watershed, their communities. They're a vital fabric as part of each community across the state.
And once again, that update comes from Chuck Spencer, Director of Corporate and Government Relations for GrowMark. And we'll visit with Chuck again tomorrow on the Noon Farm Show to hear an update about the Section 199A tax law. But that does it for today's WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.